Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm David Bullock, here with my Irish co-host,
Kathy Barker. At the Story Mine, we love to promote the art of storytelling, and today's show spotlights many talented artists. The theme of our show is in honor of St. Patrick's Day, which we celebrate on March 17th.
Originally an Irish holiday in honor of who else but St. Patrick, an Irish saint. But because of the happy celebration and flowing libations, St. Paddy's Day has crossed over from a Catholic celebration to a holiday honored and loved by all kinds of cultures.
Like Dave said, I have a rich Irish heritage. I love the wearing of the green. Do you know why green is the color of St. Paddy's Day?
Well, let's see. There's green beer and green clothing. I remember going to grade school. If I forgot to wear green, I'd get pinched. Do you wear green so you don't get pinched?
I remember getting up and putting green on the very first thing in the morning because I had 8 brothers and sisters, and I certainly didn't want to get pinched.
Faith and Begorra, you'd be black and blue all over.
But actually, the wearing of the green was a symbol of the United Irish Rebellion of 1798 against the British rule in Ireland. As a matter of fact, there's a famous song still sung in Ireland today called The Wearing of the Green.
You know, I remember that from 5th grade history. I think it goes something like, "Oh, Paddy dear, and did ye hear the news that's going round? The shamrock is by law forbid to grow on Irish ground. No more St. Patrick's Day we'll keep. His color can't be seen, for there's a cruel law again the wearing o' the green. I met with Napper Tandy, and he took me by the hand, and he said, 'How's poor old Ireland, and how does she stand? She's the most distressful country that ever yet was seen, for they're hanging men and women for the wearing o' the green. So, if the color we must wear be England's cruel red, let it remind us of the blood that Irishmen have shed. And pull the shamrock from your hat and throw it on the sod, but never fear, we'll take root there, though underfoot 'tis trod. When laws can stop the blades of grass from growing as they grow, and when the leaves in summer time their color dare not show, then I will change the color too I wear in my cowbean. But till that day, please God, I'll stick to the wearing of the green.'"
Wow, Dave, you have such an incredible memory.
Well, I am smarter than a 5th grader.
Today, the shamrock has become a symbol bringing good luck and good fortune. Dave, have you ever searched for a shamrock?
I sure have. I remember on St. Paddy's Day and many other days when I was a child, I used to go out and comb through the lawn looking for a 4-leaf clover. And I actually found a couple.
I found a 4-leaf clover, too, and I actually pressed it into my special book. And I still have it.
That's cool.
I'm a pretty lucky gal.
I think you are.
You know, I remember the rich storytelling history of Ireland, but I also remember there's a lot of poetry. Dave, you're a poet. Do you know any poetry of Ireland?
Have you heard about limericks, Kathy?
I have heard about limericks.
Well, you know, limericks are a 5-line poem. And lines 1, 2, and 5 rhyme with each other, and lines 3 and 4 rhyme with each other. For example, there once was a man named John who didn't like mowing his lawn, so he got out a torch, and the grass he did scorch, and now all of his lawn is gone.
I love that. Tell me another one.
You want a special one that I wrote?
Yes.
There once was a lady named Kathy. I'll admit she was awfully sassy. She stole my heart right from the start in a method I thought was classy.
Dave, I guess when I found that shamrock, my good luck was you. Today, we're going to feature David and Carol Sharp. David and Carol play music from the Celtic countries and Renaissance Europe. We'll also be hearing from Ron Chick. He's a storyteller we met at the Timpanogos Storytelling Festival that has a wealth of stories. He'll be telling an Irish tale about leprechauns. Our show wouldn't be complete without Liz Weir. She's a storyteller and writer from Northern Ireland, and she has told her stories to children and adults on 5 continents. Liz Weir was the first winner of the International Storybridge Award from the National Storytelling Network, which cited her exemplary work promoting the art of storytelling within Ireland and between other countries. Sit back and relax, bring your family around, and listen to stories.
Once upon a time, beneath the moon and 7 stars, a swan and 7 cygnets swam upon a mirror lake. An elvish woman came from the hills, and music she would make. To the stars she played upon her harp beside the lovely pond. And when at last she'd played enough, she left before the dawn. Daylight fades again, the swans that swam upon the lake would hear again the tales the ancient harp could make.
Long ago in Ireland, there was a fine, honest, and hard-working young man by the name of Seamus McGee. And Seamus was popular enough, but he had a problem. You see, in those days, long before there were such things as iPads, if you went to a party, you were expected to help out with the entertaining. Oh, you might dance a jig, or sing a song, or play the fiddle, or tell a story. Seamus was a great guy, but he could do none of these things. If he tried to dance, down to the floor he'd go. If he went to sing, well, let me tell you, you would rather hear the hounds baying at the moon than listen to Seamus McGee singing. And as for the fiddle, well, if he went to pull the bow across the fiddle, you'd think he was using the guts of a live cat. And it's storytelling. He was the absolute worst. He'd stop, he'd hem, and he'd haw, he'd get his beginning mixed up with his middle, mixed up with his end, he'd start all over again. Well, it was St. Patrick's Eve, and he was in town for the celebration, and he launched into one of his interminable stories. And when he had stopped and started the 3rd or 4th time, one of his neighbors said, "Seamus McGee, you are the worst storyteller in all of Ireland." Well, Seamus no longer felt like celebrating. He left the tavern and went outside and started walking down the road. He looked up at the clear night sky and said, "Oh, St. Patrick, couldn't you have at least given me a little bit of a tale to tell?" And then he walked on toward home. But where every day of his life the road had always curved to the right, this night it curved to the left. And there was a house there, a beautiful, well-made house, with a stranger in front of it, though he knew everyone from miles about. And the man said, "Seamus McGee, I've been a-waiting for you. Come in, come in, come in." He stepped inside, and the man handed him a drink and said, "Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hey, here, have a sip." And he did. And when he did, he went, "Why, Seamus, you seem a bit tired. Why don't you lay down over here? I'll wake you up in time for the St. Patrick's Day midnight celebration." So Seamus did. He went in the little room. He closed the door. He started to sit down and take off his boots when the window opened up of itself, and in came a whole troop of leprechauns, led by King Gaelic himself. And Gaelic looked at him and said, "Who'll be helping us out this night?" And all the other leprechauns said, "None but Seamus, Seamus McGee." And so Seamus nodded his head, and the little man went out the window, and he clambered out after him. And Gaidlug looked at him and said, "Who'll be carrying the casket this night?" And the little men all said, "None but Seamus McGee." Now, Seamus may not have been much of a storyteller, but he was a strong man, for he bent down and picked up a beautiful carved coffin and carried it on his shoulders down the road. They reached the graveyard wall, and Gaelic said, "Who will be putting the coffin over?" And the little men all said, "None but Seamus McGee." So he set down the coffin, he turned it up on its edge, he pushed it up atop the wall, he turned it atop the wall, he climbed up over, he got it down, and by the time he got there, the little men were all there standing around and saying, "Who will be digging the grave this night?" "None but Seamus McGee." And so he picked up the shovel and he dug them a beautiful hole, 6 foot by 6 foot by 3. But when Gaelic said, "Who'll be lying in the grave this night?" I said, "It'll not be Seamus McGee." I jumped out of the grave, I leapt over the wall, and I ran down here to tell you. Where the road has always curved to the right, it turned to the left, and there was a house there with a man I'd never seen before, and the leprechauns came into the room I was in, and they said, "Who'll be helping us out this night?" They said, "None but Seamus McGee." So I nodded my head. They went out the window. I climbed out the window with them. They said, "Who'll be carrying the casket this night?" So I carried a casket with them down the road. They got to the wall of the graveyard. They said, "Who'll be putting the casket over?" So I put the casket over. I got to the other side. The little men said, "Who'll be digging the grave this night?" "None but Seamus McGee." And so I dug them a beautiful grave, 6 foot by 6 foot by 3. But when Gaelic said, "Who will be lying in this grave this night?" I said, "It'll not be Seamus McGee." And I bolted out of the hole and I leaped over the wall and I ran down here to tell you. And his neighbors clapped and cheered and said, "Seamus McGee, that's the grandest tale that's ever been told in all of Ireland. Why didn't you say that before?" That night, as he was turning on the road to the right, a voice came out of the night sky saying, "A story you have asked of me, a story I have given thee, my fine man Seamus McGee."
Outside the town of Ballyhadreen in County Roscommon, there lived a peddler. His house was at a crossroads. House, it was a small cottage, one room, but sure wasn't enough for him. In the front of it, there was a cherry tree, and at the back, the peddler grew vegetables. But the people of the village laughed at him. They said, "Do you not see the birds coming down, robbing the fruit? Do you not see the rabbits and hares eating your vegetables?" But the peddler was a quiet man. He said, "The birds reward me with their sweet music. And what better company has a lonely man in the evening than those small creatures, the rabbits and the hares?" People would shake their heads. He was indeed a simple man. As he walked about from place to place with his pack on his back, he would sell trinkets. Maybe a young girl might come and ask for a ribbon. "How much? A penny?" She'd shake her head. He'd say, "Take it. I'll see you the next time I'm here. Sure, it looks prettier in your hair than in my bag." Or a small boy might come up and finger a spinning top. "How much?" "3 halfpence." "I've got a halfpenny." "Oh, take it with you. Sure, I'll see you again." The people would shake their heads and say, what a simple man. There'll come a day when you peddler won't have any money at all. And the peddler would smile and shake his head. He was a familiar figure at all the markets and fairs. And as well as selling things from his pack, he was noted as a storyteller. He would gather the children and the older people around him and tell them stories of the great heroes of Ireland, Finn McCool, Cuchulainn, even St. Patrick himself. As he told his stories, he would say, "Remember, these great heroes once walked the roads of Ireland as ordinary men and women. So whenever you meet a stranger along the way, be kind to them. You never know who you're talking to." And the boys and girls who heard the peddler's stories kept them in their hearts until they were old men and old women. But the years passed, and the peddler himself grew old. He was too old to hobble about. His pack on his back was nearly empty. He'd no food in his house, and he went to bed hungry. and hungry people are wont to dream. And the peddler dreamt that St. Patrick himself came into the house, pointed and said, "Peddler, peddler of Ballyhadreen, take the road to Dublin town. Find the bridge that crosses the Liffey. Wait there, and you'll hear what you're meant to hear." The next night, the peddler had the same dream, and the next. And after 3 nights, the peddler thought, "Well, I might as well go to Dublin and die hungry there, as wait here and die." So he made the long and difficult journey up to the city of Dublin. He found the bridge that crossed the Liffey, and there he stood, not knowing what he was waiting for. He looked like an old scarecrow, tall and thin, his ragged clothes flapping in the cold breeze. And when the light was failing, and everyone had ignored him all day long, crowds just passing him by without a glance, he decided to come off the bridge, find somewhere to lie down, and for all he knew, die. But as he came off that bridge, he heard a voice call, "Here, over here." And he looked, and there, standing at an inn, was the innkeeper. "Come over here. I've been watching you there all day long. You must have a story to tell. Come in. Sit down. Have a bowl of broth. You're half chilled." Gratefully, the peddler sat down, his hands shaking as he brought the spoonful of broth to his mouth. "Oh, you see," he said, "for the last 3 nights, I have had a dream." "Ha! Dreams," said the innkeeper. "Don't talk to me about dreams. For the last 3 nights, I have had a dream. Do you know, St. Patrick himself came to me. He said, 'Innkeeper, take the road to Ballyhadreen in County Roscommon. There at a crossroads, you'll find a cottage. In the front of it, there's a cherry tree. Dig you down under that tree, and you'll find what you're meant to find.'" The peddler was amazed. It was his house he was talking about. He finished his soup, thanked the man, and made the long journey back home faster than he'd come down it. When he got home, he reached for a spade and started to dig down under the cherry tree. He scraped the soil away and lifted out a chest. When he opened that chest, there inside was gold, Spanish gold. Oh, the peddler didn't need much for himself. He took a little to buy some food, but the rest he gave to the people of the town. And they say that when the peddler finally died, they built a statue at the side of the road, the peddler of Ballyhadreen, with his pack on his back and a dog at his heels. This story was told to me by a dear friend, Sheila Quigley, who lives in Derry. Long ago in County Donegal, there was a family who had 5 young daughters, just a year apart, like steps and stairs. But when the oldest girl, Moya, was just 7 years old, her father took consumption and died. The young wife tried her best to keep the family farm going. But when Moya reached the age where she might be hired out, the mother had no choice. She had to send her daughter off with a little bundle under her arm to stand under the clock in Strabane and wait at the hiring fair. It was like a cattle market. Young boys and girls would stand there with their meagre bundles under their arms, waiting for a farmer to come along and hire them for the 6 months. Each one knew if they didn't stay this full 6 months, they'd be sent home without a penny. As Moya stood there, a farmer and his wife came along and hired her. She found herself on the back of a cart, heading off to a strange place. Now she knew at once the woman was kind, and indeed in the weeks that followed, she showed her how to do all the jobs around the house. But it was the man she was wary of. He had a bad temper, a loud voice, used violence, and came home often with drink taken. Moya stayed well out of his way. Everything went well until just before Christmas, when the woman of the house went off to the town to do some shopping. A big snowstorm came on, and she was unable to get home. At bedtime, Moya banked up the fire, tidied the house for the night, went up the small step ladder into the half loft overlooking the yard. It was the room she loved, not having to share it with any little sisters. But she was awoken from her sleep by a noise of the outside door banging. The man of the house was home, roaring and shouting, where was his supper? What sort of a house was this? No woman there to tend to his needs. He stumbled about, knocking over furniture. And Moya was very afraid. She knew she had to get out of there. And she hopped out of the window and dropped down into the snow. There she stood, in her bare feet, her long white nightdress. She didn't know where she could run to, but she started to run through the driving snow. And then all of a sudden, she felt herself plucked up from the ground as if she was no heavier than a baby. It was a man on a big black horse. He wrapped a cloak around her and said, "Don't worry, child, you're safe with me." And whether it was the sound of his voice, the movement of the horse, or her own heart pounding, Moya put her head to his breast and fell fast asleep. When she awoke, it was daylight. She felt herself being lifted down from the horse. When she turned her head, horse and rider had vanished. When she looked in front of her, there stood the two gateposts of her own family farm. She ran and pounded on the door. There came her mother, all the hugs and the kisses and the tears, and the story was told. Her mother listened, and then she said, "Moya, the man on the horse, did you notice anything about his hand?" And Moya said, "Why, yes, mother. He had a scar in the back of his hand like a crescent moon." And her mother said, "That, daughter dear, was your own dead father."
May you have all the happiness and luck that life can hold. And at the end of all your rainbows, may you find a cup of gold.
Thank you to David and Carol Sharp for their beautiful music, to Ron Chick for his great leprechaun story. Thank you to Liz Weir for The Peddler of Balladreen and The Hired Girl.
Well, that's just about the end of our show, but before we go, we want to give you one final Irish wish.
This is Dave and Kathy wishing you happy St. Patrick's Day from the Story Mine.
Goodbye.